Okay, let's see what we got. Yeah, let's do the kind. What you need to kill.
Okay.
Nice, Darwin.
Okay, this next song is written by our great friend Dennis Kamaka. He's probably one of Hawaii's greatest songwriters. Even though we're all three songwriters, we want to honor him. He used to come over here and play at that place with Benbo or whatever.
Benbo Lake.
Lake, and he wrote a song, a bunch of songs. But this one is called, about the mist, called Wahine Ilikia.
Uh-oh.
Kahiapo, Ethan Aviar, and George Kahumoku on the Masters Music Tour.
Well, aloha ika, KHSU. Ladies and gentlemen, we are being treated to the gorgeous sounds of the islands from these three masters of Hawaiian music. We were talking earlier about the connections between Humboldt County and Hawaii and deciding that, yes, there's quite a few, and wondering what the reason for that was. Laid-back lifestyle.
Probably the lifestyle and, you know, maybe it was a pot. I hate to say it, but there probably wasn't a lot that had to do with it. A lot of guys who came, you know, the hippies came to Hawaii in the 60s and 70s, came from this area, and they introduced pot to Hawaii, you know.
I think a huge tragedy is that they didn't bring back this music with them.
Thank you.
But so thank you so much for being here. Yeah, for any of those of us who have been to Hawaii, that sound really describes the islands and the life. One thing that's happening here, I don't see any ukuleles, but I do see guitars. And there's a style of guitar that is little, perhaps the name is quite well known, slack key guitar, but no one really seems to know exactly what is meant by slack key guitar. Explain that for us.
Hawaiians use the word kiho'alu, or literally to take the guitar and tune it down, tune a few strings down. So its most contemporary terms are like alternative tuning, drop tuning.
Oh, okay.
And there's all kind of variations, different chord structures. But the most common one we play is like an open G, which we call taro patch, which not only has been used by the Hawaiians, but guys like Keith Richards has been playing
Delta open Blues, G, all in open G most
since
of
like the 60s.
Okay, but you have a name for it, Tarapatch.
Tarapatch.
Yeah. And different tunings will have different names like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We name it, that's some of the people who, you know, used to play it a lot. Like, we got Uncle Leonard, Quan C, you know, got stuff like that.
And he'll have his own tuning.
And then you got everybody, you know, goes on and on.
And how did this tradition of slack key guitar get started?
Way back in the day, Spanish vaqueros came to teach
1830s.
Hawaiian ranchers how to.
They would detune the guitar.
Yeah, actually, yeah. When they came, they actually came to help us manage our cattle in 1790. George Vancouver happened to be pass away, and the records show that he started off with 20 cows and 5 bulls from England. But by the time he reached Hawaii, there was only one lame bull and 5 cows left. I don't know if they ate them, they fell overboard, they got sick, whatever. And then they let them go at Kealakekua Bay. And then less than 50 years, they put a kapu at the time. Kapu is like a taboo. Or,
restriction.
Know, restriction.
Oh, okay.
No eating these. At the time, they called them Nalio, which means big dog. You know? And they put a kapu. So, you know, and then, you know, it grew into the thousands. And what the cows like to eat was grass, right? So. And our houses were thatched at the time, made of pili grass. So now there's a housing problem in Hawaii. And then they started going, instead of only liking grass, they started eating the native stuff that Hawaiians like to eat, like banana leaves. Tea leaf is probably their favorite. And they would raid the patches, and along trying to get the tea leaf, they'd step on the taro and destroy the whole year's supply of food. So that's when the natives got restless. And King Kamehameha III was smart enough to bring in the vaqueros in the 1830s. And along with them came the guitars. But they had 3 different guitars, something called the guitarro. They played the bass. Then they had a 6-string catgut that played the rhythm. Then they had a 4-string candy guitar that played the lead. Even today, if you look at mariachi bands, you still have that combination in the Spanish-Mexican music.
Mm-hmm.
And but when they left the islands, they left a few guitars behind, but forgot us to teach us how to tune these tunings. And we actually slackened the strings to an open tuning. And this tuning is actually a universal tuning. I've seen cowboys in Argentina use the same tuning. I played music with guys from South Africa use the same G tuning, believe it or not. Blues guys, Delta blues guys use the same G tuning.
Yeah. So slack key is more a style.
Well, it's actually a tuning. The style that makes it slack key is the bass. All these other traditions don't play bass in their rhythm.
Ooh, demonstrate that.
Well, like if you play alto D.
Ah, okay.
That's what's missing. The Mexicans is a. Yeah. But it's missing the bass when they're playing the music. Even the South Africans here, they're missing the bass. Hawaiians is the only one who add the bass, the rhythm, and the lead to the guitar.
So all in one instrument.
All on one instrument.
So the 3 instruments together, how do you divide up parts?
The thing about Hawaiian music, it's almost like jazz. What we do is actually listen to each other. You know, you're more interested in whoever's taking the lead. Our job as the guys who accompany the person, whoever's taking the lead in playing or in singing, is to make that person sound the best. So what we do is we take a back seat and try to enhance or embellish whatever the lead person's taking. So we just take turns. We go around in a circle, you know. It's just like
Now that would be in an instrumental piece or also in the vocal pieces?
Vocal, instrumental.
So you think in terms of a lead accompaniment voice and an accompaniment voice?
Well, these are songs that we kind of all know. Like, it's like sort of like our classic songs, like the one we just
standard.
Did. Vahine Ilikia. Well, it really wasn't a standard, but it has become a standard over 30, 40 years, you know, written by Dennis. But we kind of all know the song, and everybody takes their own take on it, you know.
But in a jam situation like we were doing, it sort of like takes on like an orchestral kind of feel. One will have a lead, someone will play a counter lead.
But that's all improvised. You know,
all improvised. That's the thing that makes it, that we never do the same song.
Someone do a lead rhythm, counter rhythm, you know, just a bunch of stuff going on in between.
And everyone's aware of that and listening. And
well, that should be the concern of every player is just to listen to the other guy, figure out what they're doing and not do that. Yeah. And find, like, the pocket.
Find something else to do.
Yeah, if the guy's way up here, then I'll be down here. You know, just be someplace else. Unfortunately, that's what we got to teach the next generation of kids. Like, mm-hmm. I remember one of my students when he's like 10 years old, he's trying to rip everybody. So he's full blast, four-wheel driving the whole song through and never, you know, he doesn't understand the protocol. But now he's changed. It's 25 years later, he's grown up. When he's first starting out, he's just ripping on the guitar. Yeah.
And he's calmed down.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good.
You talked about a connection. Hawaiians have been migrating here to the West Coast. I hear from people up in like the Pacific Northwest, like Vancouver, San Juan Islands. I hear as far as back as the late 1600s, 1700s, Pacific migrations. So up and down over here, although there's a more contemporary connection of Hawaiians to the West Coast, we were here intermarrying and relating with some of the older First Nations people. A couple hundred years, and so there's an affinity and a relationship that goes way back.
That's something we can't understand.
Yeah,
and that's why anybody would leave Hawaii.
Well, this bit probably because of George Vancouver. You know, Captain Cook came over there in Hawaii, and he came during the Makahiki season, and he was welcomed like a god. You know, it's like because he came to Makahiki, they had the ships, we had the cross and the seals. Well, that's a symbol of in Hawaiian culture at the time of Lono. The god of fertility. Then his mistake was coming back 3 months later, you know, when it was war season. You see, we have a season called Makahiki. We actually take off 3-4 months out of the year. No wars, just games. Everybody plays games, sports, all that kind of stuff. They ride the big surf. And, you know, that's. But he came back later. Then when he bled, they found out, oh, he's not a god. He's just a regular human being. And that's why. But George Vancouver, fortunately for us, went back and forth several times. He went back between the islands and England over a period of 3-4 years. So he was the one who actually, you know, brought the Hawaiians over, and you know, they went all over the place. Uh-huh. He brought natives with him along the way.
Can you translate that last song for us?
Wahine Ilike.
Yeah. I'm wondering what you sing about.
In the beginning, like when he's talking, he says, Ua Kalaulu. He's talking about the rain that falls upon the crown flower. It comes from the Makikai, from the ocean. Ahine ilikia of the mist from the mountain. Ikapoli is in the bosom.
There's a certain spirituality.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, when Dennis wrote that song, he was actually going over, he told me, you know, over to Halawa Valley to do a film shoot with Eddie Kamai. And when he came back, all of the cars had stopped. And they were looking for, and he was wondering what they were looking at. What happened is all the tourists, there's only one main road in Molokai to Halawa Valley. So when you stop, everybody got to stop. They all got out of their cars, and they're looking at 11 waterfalls, the waterfalls of Hina, Ohaha, Moloa, that's on. And then so Dennis went down the street, and I asked the families there, what was the name of those? You know, that's how he found out the names of those waterfalls. And even the guy who lived there, he said, you know, he's lived there his whole life. That's the first time he ever saw the mountain clear and see the 11 waterfalls blowing. So he wrote that song.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. So our songs are really is a reflection of our experience of the aina, the land and the sea and the mountains and nature around us. So he talks about that Kalaunu is the crown flower that grows.
So this evening, for the full house you're going to have downstairs, I'm sure, a public can expect more stories like this, explanations of this music and...
Yeah. About stories that... That's what the songs are, really, stories about our life in Hawaii. Yeah.
Which we all need to know much more about. Give us another tune to end this with.
We like to do, let's do an instrumental song and just let everybody take one take off of that. This is a song that was one of my albums in the key of F. It's called, we've actually never done it. We're actually individual soloists. We hardly play with each other, but we're just going to wing it, okay? And this is key of F. If you're still going to the forest, what kind of music would you like to listen to? This is what song called The 36 Mara. Kavika Kayapu'u. Take one.
Sound.
We never did play it together ever once, so it's just
no?
Listening to it. No, no.
Everybody just knows it.
This is okay. Really, yeah.